Okay, good morning and welcome all of you to Family Bible Hour. When I was thinking of an introduction to this sermon, one of the things that come into my mind was the types and the size of the harvesters or the combines used by the Canadian farmers. When I used to live in the east of the city, I used to drive past some of these big machines which are parked in Victoria Avenue in Highway number 1. The technology behind these huge machines impressed me, but at the same time, I thought few decades ago, a lot of things were manual, everything was done manually in the farm. And this verse that I have put on the brochure today, a word called gleaned, is actually a term used in agricultural industry to describe the collection of crops left behind after the crops have been harvested. And I hope and I pray that in the process of today's sermon, I could share with you few of the things I could glean from this scriptural portion. Before we begin to proceed in chapter number 2, I want to share, briefly remind you of the things that we learned in chapter number 1. Of the two books in the Old Testament which are named after women, this is one of the book, Ruth. Can you tell me what was this? It's another book. Esther, yes, right. Esther is the second book which is named after a woman. So this book, Ruth, the story of a Gentile woman. She's from Moab. And you know Moab are the children of incest between a relationship between Lot and his daughters, one of his daughters. According to Jewish tradition, this book was written by Prophet Samuel. The text itself doesn't say anything about it, but it is believed that it was written after David or during David's anointing. That is recorded in Ruth chapter 4 verse 17 to 22, which says that Ruth had a great grandson named David. It's a beautiful story of only 85 verse, and I hope that you will go back home and read this and understand better. In chapter number 1, we learned about a family, a famine, and a decision that this family is taking. There was a famine in Bethlehem, and a family of Elimelech, his wife Naomi, and his two sons Mahlon and Chilion decided to leave Bethlehem and go to a land of Moab. As we learned previously, that in Bible times, the names had a meaning. And that meaning signifies a person's identity that he has. So, word Elimelech, it means, my God is king, indicating that this person is following God as his king. But when we read through this text, we understand that Elimelech does not act like his name. He does not live as if God is his king. Rather, if there is no king at all, or he himself is king over his own life. And Naomi means pleasant, but as the story unfolds, we understand that probably it may be a cruel joke that was put on her. When we see her two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Mahlon means sickly or weak, and Chilion means tired and dying. And Bethlehem means the house of bread. So this family takes a decision to move out of the house of bread, Bethlehem, to a land of Moab because of famine. They stayed there for 10 years, and in this process, the two sons married two Moabitish women. One was named Orpah and another Ruth. As we know, that Jewish boys were forbidden to marry a Gentile, especially a Moabite. And we understand the story what happened. Later, three men died and leaving behind three widows alone in the land of Moab. Later, Naomi makes a decision to go back to her place of home, that is Bethlehem. She tells her daughter-in-law that you should remain in Moab, but Naomi persists to go along with Ruth Persis pleads to Naomi to go with her, and Orpha stays in Moab. And we saw in this chapter number 1, many bad decisions and a good decision. We understood the power of decision in our life. We understood that decisions are inevitable. That means every one of us has to take decisions in our life. Even indecision is a decision in itself. Decision should not conflict the revealed God's will. And we saw that Elimelech took a decision to go to Moab, which was against God's will. And we see decisions has consequence. We have to bear consequence of our decisions. Somebody said, we are the product of our own decision. In a way, it is right. Every decision has a consequence. And we see decision should be faith-based. That means every decision that we take should be based on faith, that who is there on the other end. And we saw a good decision by Naomi, that she take a decision to go back to Bethlehem. And chapter number 1, verse 16 and 17, we see a beautiful declaration of commitment and faith by Ruth, when she says, whether thou goest, I will go. Chapter 1, verse 16 and 17 says, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. Thy God, my God. Here we see a faith decision taken by Ruth, that she will go along with Naomi. Her people will be now Ruth's people, and her God will be Ruth's God. So we see a faith decision taken by Ruth, and we see many such faith decisions right across the scriptures, and we see God rewarding people who take decision based on faith on God. A particular statement that struck me was that, thy people shall be my people, thy God, my God. Here we see a divine principle being stated, that once you accept Jesus as your personal savior, we have to renounce our past life, our past association. Many a life have been shipwrecked because they are still continuing on with their old habits, with their old friendship. But scripture says that we have to turn to God, leaving behind those worldly friendships and worldly things that deter us to walk along with God. So from this chapter, let us see how much affinity we have with God and with God's people. Now let us read chapter number 2, verses 1 to 10. Ruth chapter 2, verse 1 to 10 reads like this, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have not I charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger." May the Lord add his blessing upon the reading of his word. Here we see Ruth is asking her mother-in-law, Naomi, that she should allow her to do something called gleaning. Gleaning is mentioned in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 9 and 10. It is an instruction by the Lord. Let us turn that to Leviticus chapter 9, verse 19, verse 9 and 10. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 9 and 10 says, "And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of the vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God." We can also see that in Leviticus 23, verse 22. And in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 19 and 22 says like this, "When you reap your harvest in your field and forget to sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hand." So we see gleaning was basically God's way of taking care of the poor and the stranger. And Ruth fits in both the category. She was poor, she was a widow, and she was a stranger. So it was by law for the poor and the stranger. Now in those days, there were no welfare system that we have right now. So God made a provision for the poor and the needy, that he asked the farmers that they should leave behind something so that the poor and the needy can come and take it from their according to their need. So it taught the farmers to be generous, unlike to today's industry which says maximum profit for themselves. But here we see it is not only a teaching for the poor but also for the farmers to be generous, for the people who are running business to be generous. We see in Luke chapter 12 verse 16 to 21 a parable of the rich fool. It says, then Luke chapter 12 verse 16 to 21 says, "Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." So we see a lesson being taught by the Lord that you should leave some provision for the poor and the stranger. And he's telling the farmers that you should be generous instead of, unlike the parable of the rich fool. In verse 3, we see in Ruth chapter 2, verse 3, it says, And she went and came and gleaned the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz. I did not understand what is hap, so I checked in NKJV, what does hap mean? It says, it happened, as it happened. So she went out for gleaning, and it happened by chance that she landed up in the field of Boaz. Boaz was a relative of Elimelech. She did not know that she had accidentally come to her relative's field. From a human perspective, we might think that that Ruth was lucky and it was by chance that she ended up in Boaz's field. But in God's perspective, this is called providence. What is providence? It is a doctrinal teaching throughout the Bible, that is, God is in control. We might think that I am in control, but in fact, God is control and he is behind every circumstances, every incident in my life and your life. Let me read Proverbs 16 verse 9. It says, "A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." Proverbs 16 verse 33 says, "The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord." We might think that I am doing everything because of my intellect, because of my strength. No. God is in control and He is moving everything as per His will and purpose. Few days back, one of my friends sent me a text which quoted Romans 8 verse 28, a very famous verse. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." This verse is many times misquoted. This verse says, let us read it again, "And we know all things work together for good." It does not say everything is good, because certain things are really not good, it is bad. But here we see all things work together. His ultimate end is goodness. That goodness is not promised for all, but it is promised for those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. So we see God is causing everything or working everything for the goodness of His children. And we see Ruth loved God, and Ruth was doing the right thing, looking after her mother-in-law. And we see God was working out things for her betterment. If you ask Ruth, "Ruth, tell me your secret. How did you end up in Boaz's life? Was it by chance? Or did you see any vision or any dreams?" Ruth will just say, "Oh, it was by chance. I just accidentally ended up in Boaz's field." In Psalm 73, Asaph describes leading of the Lord in a believer's life. I want you to turn to that portion. It encouraged me very much. Psalms 73 verse 23-24. Psalms 73 verse 23 and 24 speaks about leading in a believer's life. It says, "Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory." Here we see a godly person telling his right hand has been held by the Lord. Everything that happens in his life is being directed by His good will. So this is applicable for all God's children. Here in this passage in Ruth chapter 2, we can see five qualities that we can accommodate in our life. Even if you forget all the five qualities, I want you to remember two questions in this chapter, and that should help us in our spiritual life. So what are the five qualities? First thing we can understand was Ruth was selfless. Chapter 1 began with a selfish decision by Elimelech. They took a selfish decision that they should leave the Bethlehem against God's will to Moab. And we see that decision was wrong. But we see Ruth, on the other hand, she left her homeland and she accepted the God of Naomi, God of Abraham and Isaac. She left her people and she went along with Naomi. And further, when we go to Ruth chapter 4, we see a redeemer who, because of his self-interest, did not redeem Naomi and Ruth when they came back to Bethlehem. His name is not even mentioned in Ruth, but we see Ruth, who took a decision to accept Lord, what happened? Her name is taken even right now today. So let us be selfless towards the Lord. Second thing that we learn from Ruth is that Ruth took initiative in our life. We see nobody told her. Ruth could have said, "I'm in a strange land. All these things are strangers. Naomi, you know better. You go out and glean something and give it to me also." But we see rather Ruth is telling to Naomi, asking her permission, "I want to go out." She is not looking for welfare. She is not looking, saying to the world that you owe me a living. No, she went out and to clean and provide for her and for Naomi. We see the Lord, when He is looking to use somebody, He is looking for people who are working. When we see in the life of David, when God called David, he was attending to the sheep. When God called Gideon, he was threshing wheat. When God called Peter, James, John, and Andrew, they were mending their nets. Many Christians, when they sit all day long thinking, "The Lord is not leading me. The Lord will lead you when you are working to His will. So let us be encouraged that we should take initiative, that we should work for the furtherance of the Lord. Third thing that we understand from this aspect is that Ruth was very humble in our life. In verse 7, we see when the supervisor, Boaz's supervisor was asked, who is that lady? In verse 7, she is telling to the supervisor and to Boaz. And verse 7 says, and she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. She is not telling to Boaz, see, I know the rules, I know my rights. These things are for strangers and for poor. She is not saying like that. She is saying, pleading to Boaz, please allow me to glean something from your field. She is pleading. So we see she was a very humble person. She asked permission from Boaz rather than telling, see, this is my right, or demanding a handout. Fourth thing that we learned from Ruth's life was she was amazed at the grace that was shown to her. Verses 8 and 9, we see Boaz and Ruth was talking. Verse 8 and 9, then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessel and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Verse 10, then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Remember, she was a Moabite. In Deuteronomy chapter 23 verse 3, it says, a Moabite was never allowed to enter the fellowship of God's congregation. She knew that the people around them, they abhorred a Moabite. But when she saw Boaz showing grace on her, she is asking a question, why have I found grace in thy sight? She is an example of how we ought to think and to live. How do we respond to God's kindness in our life? Do we say, it is my right? Or is my do I feel arrogant about it? But rather we should ask God, God, why did you show such a grace on me? I don't deserve thy mercy. It is our Lord Jesus Christ. He showed grace on us. We who are sinners, we who are Gentiles, never to come to God's presence. God has shown grace on us. He has shown kindness to us that He sacrificed His only Son on the cross for your sin and my sin. And we see that when we understand the grace that He has bestowed upon us, we should be asking to the Lord, Lord, why did you show such a grace on me? I don't deserve this grace. I don't deserve this mercy. But human arrogance and pride block these words from our lips, our hearts, and our mind. We anticipate kindness. We are resentful when we don't get our portion. In Romans chapter 1 verse 21, it encouraged me so much. Romans chapter 1 verse 21 says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Paul is writing in Romans chapter 1, and he's saying, people, they knew God, and they were not thankful to Him, but they were futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Let us, in the coming days, let us not only thank Him for what He has done for us, and thank Him for the grace that He has showed on us. And verses 11 and 12, we see Boaz tells Ruth that the reason she received this blessing is not because of Boaz, but because of God. He is the one who rewarded her. Boaz is just an instrument in the Lord's hand. In verses 15 and 16, unknown to Ruth, Boaz instructs his servant that they should intentionally leave few grains on the ground and so that she can pick it up. How can we not thank God for what He has done for us? In our physical life, in our family life. Let us thank Him for what He has done for us. Above all, He has rescued us from the flame of fire. And finally, we see from her life, she was a witness to others of God's working in her life. In verse 11 and 12, let us read that. And Boaz answered and said unto her, "It hath fully been shewed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father, thy mother, and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not herefore. And the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Here we see Boaz, he knew the selfless character of Ruth. Ruth did not advertise, "Oh, I did so many things for my mother-in-law Naomi." She did not even utter a word. But the whole town was talking about Ruth, how she was working for and how she left her family, her friends, and she accepted God of Israel, and she came and she was a help to Naomi. In chapter number 1, verse 6, we saw an unnamed faithful witness who witnessed to Naomi the things that happened in Bethlehem. And because of that faithful witness, she left Moab and she came back to Bethlehem. Here we see Ruth, she was proclaiming God through her own life. She was witnessing to others through her own life. If you call yourself a Christian, let me remind you, there are many people who are watching each one of us very carefully. They might not have gone to a church, they might not have read a Bible, but because you know, because they have seen you, they have seen how a Christian should be walking. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2 and 3, Paul writes like this, "You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart." Some people might not have entered a church, but they know you, and they know you are a Christian, and your life should be the only Bible, maybe the only Bible that they might ever read. Let us in the coming days be a good witness of our Master, like Ruth, that people who know us may know our Lord, our Master. Now let me read verse 14 and verses 17 to 19. Verse 14 says, "And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime, come thou hither, eat of the bread, dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and she reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left." Here we see Boaz inviting her for a meal, and she, along with Boaz, she ate food at her table, and she was sufficed, she was filled with food. Verses 17 to 19. "So she gleaned the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went to the city, and her mother-in-law saw that she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today? Where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she shewed her mother-in-law with whom she wrought, and said, The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz." So the whole day she had gleaned, and she was filled. She took that what she had gleaned, and she took to her mother-in-law. Her mother-in-law was waiting for a whole day that she might get something from Ruth. And when she saw her, she had enough grain and she had leftover food that she had with Boaz. She was amazed. She knew that this was not something common. This was something very special in her life and Ruth's life. When Naomi saw all that Ruth had brought, she knew about that it was not mere gleaning. She knew someone had really blessed her with open hands. And Naomi is asking a question. Where did you glean today? Where did you work today? And Ruth is just summarizing with one word. That man's name is Boaz. She did not have anything else to say. She did not say the weather was good. She did not tell the servants were good. She did not tell that she had so-and-so food in the table. She had only one word. Oh, that man's name is Boaz. My dear friends, my dear brothers and sisters, how is our witness to others? Is through my life and through your life, is my Boaz, my Lord's name is glorified? Are the people around us, our colleagues, our friends, are they able to know, oh yes, this man is the one who know God? Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says like this, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places." Let us in the coming days acknowledge the fact that we have been blessed spiritually. Let us, when we go out from this place, let us people who are around know that yes, He knows our Master, Lord Jesus Christ. May these words help us and encourage us in our spiritual journey. May His name be glorified.